How you been, Heidi?
I'm good. How are you doing, Joel?
Is there anyone you haven't seen from North Dakota? I'm following you on Twitter, and near as I can tell, you've had the broadcasters in there, you've had the Beat Boys in there, you've had the school administrators in there, you've had the city of Fargo, the pro diversion folks in there. It's just been a whirlwind of North Dakota people around
Well,
here.
and you know, I'm going to take the North Dakota principles as an example of why it is so important. And I know people out there go, does it really matter? You can see her when she's in North Dakota, and that's true. But the principals came in, they're at their conference, and raising issues that I didn't know were high priorities for the principals, like mental health. They're seeing more and more mental health challenges of kids. And so I have an advisory committee on health care that I meet with quarterly, and the next one is going to be all on mental health. And you know, I never would have thought, and I should have thought, that to invite the educators in on that discussion. But they're critical because they see kids every day. And so, you know, people think maybe it doesn't matter, but it sure does. And I learn something every time someone comes in.
Well, and I popped by your office yesterday, Allie and I did, and when I did, I was amazed at how many people I recognized in terms of waiting in the lobby, just trying to get some face time with you. And I know they spent time with Senator Hovind and Congressman Kramer as well. But you know, the whole thrust of it, they come in very issue specific. So the question, you know, needs to be asked. How do you sort through that? Because the answer to everybody that walks through that door, I'll give you an example. If the diversion guys come in, you can be for permanent flood protection for Fargo. I'm for permanent flood protection for Fargo. But that doesn't guarantee there's going to be funding in the budget for it.
Oh no! In fact, you know, at this point, it's unlikely that the president's budget's going to include a provision on the diversion. Now, why would that be? Because the WRDA bill, the Water Resources Development Act, is in conference here, and we don't have an authorization. An authorization is Congress saying, yes, we approve this project, and from there you get the appropriation. And as long as you don't have approval for the project, it's going to be difficult. Now we think we're going to get approval, but we had a great opportunity to sit down with the folks over in Moorhead. Sit down with the folks. You know, Colin Peterson came in, Amy Klobuchar, Senator Hovind, and Congressman Kramer, and me, and Senator Franken, and had a frank conversation about the challenges, including upstream challenges of the diversion plan. And you know, those kinds of free-flowing discussions are really, really valuable to get everybody in the room. Where else are you going to get all six of us? Colin Peterson and Congressman Kramer and the four senators, where else is that going to happen but in D.C.? And so that was a really valuable discussion yesterday, too.
I don't believe that the Congressman Peterson, is for this project. He has never told me that. I don't think he likes it in its current design. It puts water back on to the Comstock area and onto some farmers that he represents. And he sees a community like Moorhead that he represents already protected to a higher flood level than what they're proposing in Fargo. And so, does that make it difficult when you have that coalition of people that aren't all in lockstep on whether or
Well,
not this is the right
I
plan?
mean, I'm going to let Congressman Peterson speak for himself, but that's certainly not the sense that I got, Joel. The sense that I got is that he wants all these concerns aired, and he wants us to you know, Minnesota and North Dakota to have a plan that you know, meets the needs of the vast majority of people in the valley, not just in Fargo and Moorhead. And so, you know, we're you know, I think we're a long way from getting a shovel in the ground on this project, but we also know that with flood insurance rates coming on the back end of this, that permanent flood relief for a city the size of Fargo and for the valley is essential to long-term development of that community and protection of that community. And so we just need to keep working through the challenges and the concerns of other folks who are impacted.
Stick around, Heidi. Let's give people access to you. 1-800-880-5346, 237-5948. It's that simple. You call and you'll get a chance to ask Heidi Heitkamp a question. And we'll do that when we come back right here on News and Views.
Joel Heitkamp.
You know, there's some. Welcome back to News and Views. United States Senator Heidi Heitkamp is our guest, and she's taking your phone calls at 1-800-880-5346. Mark, you're on with Heidi Heitkamp. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, Heidi, with the downsizing of the military proposed by the president, I think any new conflict's going to involve a draft. I was wondering if you'd support drafting women in the next draft.
No, I wouldn't support a draft, and I don't agree with what the direction the Department of Defense is going. In fact, I just attended this morning the National Guard caucus breakfast, talked to any brass I could find in the room, and said, "Look, you know, number one, you know, this whole idea that somehow downsizing the National Guard is the way to be efficient in the military, I don't agree with. These folks have done their share and have proven over and over again that they can be excellent reservists and meet any challenges of the conflict, and they also are very cost-effective. And so I think there is a way that we can maintain a ready force, but I think the direction that we're seeing coming out of DOD is not the right direction. Now, I will tell you, I think that is as much politics as anything else, because they're frustrated, and rightfully frustrated, with the United States Congress that continues to do this on-again, off-again yo-yo with our budgeting. You know, are we going to have sequestration in 2 years or not? And so they've got a plan for it, because they don't want to be in that spot that they were a year ago when they you know, thought it would all go away, and it didn't. And so what I told the generals, I understand we're not doing our job, but you guys need to be more collaborative with us. And so we're going to see how all of this shakes out and where we're headed. But it does point out the challenges that we have in making the right decisions about how we invest in the future. We've pushed off all of our budget problems on what they call discretionary spending and military spending, and we haven't addressed the big elephant in the room, which is mandatory spending and how we're going to continue to provide services to our seniors and to our kids in ways that we need to, but actually reduce costs. And so for me, the long-term strategy is actually getting a handle on our mandatory spending so that we can, in fact, keep a ready military.
Heidi, there was something interesting, though, in what Mark was asking, which is if we ever got to the point where there would be a draft again, which I realize you're in a different direction on where you think the country goes. But just hypothetically, if there ever was a draft again, do you think women should be drafted?
Well, I think if there is a draft, women definitely should be drafted. I don't think
I
there's
agree.
Any doubt about it.
I totally agree.
You know, so I don't think that given where we are, given that we now have set standards for combat training that are gender neutral. I mean, if women can, you know, who are drafted can serve in combat and meet those requirements, then I think that's a fair situation. If they can't, there's other jobs that can be done in the military. But I think that mandatory service, if we're going to impose it, which I wouldn't support, you know, then it ought to be gender neutral. Now, what I will tell you is I feel very strongly. One of the bits of advice that Senator Conrad gave me is that, you know, one of the most important decisions you'll make here will be to put our people in harm's way, to enter into a conflict. It's why when we were in this situation where we were addressing Syria, you know, I came back to Washington, D.C., because I am never going to make those decisions without getting as much actual information. People have fatigue. People are tired of it. We need to begin to address it. The other thing I'll tell you, Joel, I'll never do is I'll never say we're going to have a war that's off the books. By that I mean we're not going to pay for it as we go. That's part of why we're in the situation that we're in today.
Oh, I agree.
We need to represent to the American people the cost of those conflicts, both in terms of human costs and our young people and our military, but also the economic costs.
Well, and I think the history books are not going to be that kind to Dick Cheney when it comes to the wars that we were in and how he presented
those.
He wasn't
the president, Joel. Just want to point that out.
Yeah. Well, are you sure about that? I mean, are you sure about that? Because I think the president kind of gave him the keys and let him do what he wanted to do.
That might be.
Heidi, when you look at North Dakota and you talk to so many of your colleagues, there appears to be, when I'm walking around Washington here, a lot of knowledge of what's going on in North Dakota in the energy sector and in the economy. I'm amazed because we always were this what did Eric Severoid call us? This blank reptile in America. It's, you know, I mean, there are a lot of people that have their eyes on North Dakota now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I sat down in an airplane next to a woman from Indiana. She said, oh, North Dakota, that's where you're all getting rich fracking. You know, it's really not that, you know, it's a little more complicated than that. You know, so they just kind of see the pot at the end of the rainbow. And you know, we know it's much more complicated than that. But I remind them that the things that we're doing in North Dakota, both in agriculture and in energy, is really benefiting them. Because we're reducing the trade deficit, but we're also creating an opportunity for energy independence, for food independence, and we are new wealth creators in North Dakota.
Let's get Mike on with you. Mike, you're on with Senator Heidi Heitkamp. Go ahead, Mike.
Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning.
You know, you mentioned energy. I forget the word. Independence.
Mm-hmm.
So much of our crude oil and so much of our refined products go overseas. Why is this? Why don't we keep that there if we want to be, independent?
Well, I mean, I think independence, for me, isn't about where the commodity goes. It's about the fact if somebody wanted to embargo us, somebody wanted to do like they did in the 70s and not sell to the United States or jack up the price so it's unaffordable, that we have that resource that's been developed here and we can take care of ourselves. You know, the good thing about what's happened right now is we've crossed the line for the first time in decades on where what we're using in our country and what we're producing is actually greater in our country than what we're importing. We aren't quite there yet, but I'll tell you one thing. We need to include Canada because when I talk about energy independence, I talk about North American energy independence, and that's an achievable goal in very short period of time given what's happening up in Alberta and Canada and that oil sand that will come on the Keystone Pipeline will basically be refined in the refineries in Louisiana and they will replace crude oil from Venezuela and other countries that don't like the United States. And so, you know, this is a win-win for North America, win for Canada, win for us. And I think energy independence is that idea that no one has energy control over our country.
Heidi, thanks so much for your time. Thanks for taking calls. When you ever, and if you ever get back to the state, they give you a break, come take some calls in studio, okay?
You bet. Talk to you
Senator
later,
Senator Heidi Heitkamp.